On Rant a little while ago, we had a caller who said they're allergic to air fresheners and that these things are increasingly being used in public places, public toilets and the like, will have these motion sensor air fresheners that will pump it out. And, you know, because of her allergy, this is an uncomfortable situation for her. We did some investigation. Jen Fleming went off and searched around to try and find out what are the regulations around this area. And as far as we could gather, it is the ones you buy in the supermarket for your own use will have ingredients on the pack. Things being pumped into workplaces and shopping centres and the like, not necessarily. And it's not clear. It's not always the case that you'll be able to just inquire and say, what is this thing that I'm smelling? And they will tell you. It's not that they're trying to be dodgy. They may not even particularly know. One shopping centre told us that they're one of the big shopping centres said, look, we don't use those sort of artificial air fresheners. We do use clean air sanitizers in the toilets. They are fragrance-free and made from essential oils. We thought we'd catch up again with Anne Steineman, who we heard a little from in Jen's piece earlier in the week. She's Professor of Civil Engineering at the University of Melbourne and deeply concerned with this area. Anne, a very good afternoon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not at all. Now, as far as we can gather, this is not regulated in the same way that food is. Food, everything's labelled. In this area, there's a lot of grey areas.
Well, that is correct. And I want to make three main points for your listeners to help to make this whole area clear. First of all, on the issue of disclosure, there is no law in Australia or anywhere in the world that requires a disclosure of all chemicals in air fresheners. It doesn't matter where it's used or what kind of air freshener it is. It's the same whether it's in the supermarket and used in the home or whether it's in a workplace. If you look at a label, you're going to see probably fewer than 10% of all ingredients. So this is important for your listeners to know.
Right.
Also, there is no law anywhere in the world that requires disclosure of any or all chemicals in a fragrance, which is what makes an air freshener an air freshener. On your last program, we talked about safety data sheets. Those are intended for employees for safe handling of chemicals in the workplace. They're not intended for consumers. But here's the point, is that a safety data sheet is not about ingredient disclosure. It only discloses potentially hazardous chemicals, and the manufacturer determines what is a hazard. But moreover, the safety data sheet doesn't even necessarily apply to air fresheners because air fresheners are exempt because if the product is used in a comparable way by consumers, then it doesn't have to have a safety data sheet. So end story is there is no law anywhere in Australia or the world that requires that you see all chemicals on an air freshener.
Right. And now the point of all this is, Professor Steineman, the point of all this is that more and more people are reporting that they're affected by this. They either have an allergy or it makes them uncomfortable. At the least, it makes them uncomfortable. At the extreme end, they have an allergy. They can't go into these places anymore.
Correct. So that was a point two and point three. Number two is that I have chemically analyzed air fresheners, all types, even ones called green, organic with essential oils. If there's an air freshener out there, I'd probably analyze it.
If you've got any further concerns about this, I'm interested in people that are suffering from this. You know, it's the over-perfumed garbage bag, it's the scented candle even. Are some people finding the whole environment, there's just too much smell going on? 1-300-222-702. So the main point is that it seems as though if you were allergic to a particular substance, you won't be able to find out if that's in this air freshener or not.
That's correct. And this, two more important points is, one is that all air fresheners I've analyzed, even ones called green, organic, all natural with essential oils, emitted chemicals classified as toxic or hazardous. And there was no difference between the so-called green, organic, all-natural essential oils versions and the regular ones. And I just conducted a study of essential oils. They also all emitted chemicals classified as toxic or hazardous.
This is what people would think of as essential oils being, this is natural. This is derived from lavender. It's put into oil, so it's more natural than something made from a synthetic fragrance.
However, the problem is that oftentimes essential oils are extracted with or diluted with petrochemicals, so they're not truly pure essential oils. And also there can be other chemicals mixed up with the essential oils to make the air freshener. And the company doesn't necessarily know what that is, a fragrance or essential oil, a mixture of several hundred chemicals. Now, on the third point, adverse health effects, I just finished a national study of Australians, and nearly one-fifth of them report one or more types of adverse health effects when exposed to air fresheners, such as seizures, migraine headaches, asthma attacks, respiratory difficulties. So this is a national problem. It's an epidemic. And air fresheners do not serve a hygienic function. They do not clean or purify the air, but they add this mixture of potentially hazardous chemicals to the air that we breathe.
Yeah, Professor Anne Steinman's with us from the University of Melbourne. You might have some further insights into this, or you want to report on difficulties you're having. 1-300-222-702 is our number. I'm sort of seeing a parallel. You know, I'm not allergic to it, but I find constant background music everywhere now quite annoying. I wonder if some people are finding the world is also now somewhat over-centred in the same way. Jenny, you're just back from Europe. What was your what happened there, Jenny?
Oh, hi, James. Just the hire car, the Avis Rent-A-Car, which we had for a month. It was so heavily scented that I just felt sick in the car all the time, and I could smell it as soon as the door was open from 50 metres away. It was just intolerable. And I find it in taxis and even Ubers, anything that's swinging, horrible thing. If I can throw that out, I can. But in the Avis car, I was looking under the seat and everywhere, just trying to find the bottle of whatever was... was making me feel
and
sick.
Is it just that you don't like it, you know, is it, or do you feel like it actually makes you sick?
I think if I get a strong smell, I can eventually taste it, and it just was unpleasant, really.
Yeah. Jenny, thanks for that.
I just wish people would stop over-perfuming their cars, really. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? As soon as you get in the hire car, it's often got that. And I suppose that's to deal with, you know, the smell of us and wanting the car to be fresh. But there's got to be a less intense way of doing it. Jenny, thanks for your call. 1-300-222-702 if you want to join us. What's your kind of sense of dealing with these kind of things? How, again, I suppose in talking about this just a little bit more, so I'm trying to get a sense, and suggesting that there's, you know, as many as one-fifth, 20% of Australians are dealing with this. Is that represented in our callers, perhaps? John, what happens to you?
Yeah, I find that I'm quite sensitive to some perfumes. They irritate my nose and so forth, and it's a real nuisance. And I find it bizarre that you go into a nice restaurant and you order a nice wine, and the waitress is loaded with perfume. You can't smell the wine, or even the waiters sometimes with aftershave.
Yeah.
The other curse I find is washing powders. I mean, there are some now sensitive washing powders, like what I am, which are good, but some of the ordinary washing powders are terrible. The smell lingers on the clothes for ages, and I find that difficult too.
Do you think we use more of this? Are there more scents than there used to be?
Yeah, absolutely. Everything is scented. And, like, one of the worst things is you try and go into a department store and the whole ground floor is filled with perfumes and scents and whatever. And I have to hold my breath and dash through it.
Yeah, well, that's not true, is it? See, the makeup and all that sort of stuff is that often as you come in, that's
exactly
the entrance area. John, thanks for your call. Good to talk to you. Anne Steinman, is there any sense that we do use more of this? I suppose these are products that weren't around a generation or so ago, so I guess there's that. But we're burning more candles. We perfume ourselves more. We put perfume in more products.
Yes, that's correct. My survey found these fragrances are in hundreds of different products, and nearly 100% of Australians are exposed to fragrance products weekly in some way or another. There's an important point. People always ask me, well, what should we do if these fragrances or air fresheners make me sick? You need to speak up and complain. Write a letter to the management of the restaurant. Tell the airline you're going to fly different airlines because they use the air fresheners in the lavatories. You need to make it an economic issue that they're going to lose your business if they continue to use them, or if you have an adverse health effect, you need to report that because it's a liability issue for them. If you go into a toilet, you have an asthma attack, or feel sick, or have a seizure by the air freshener, you need to report that because companies can't think that they can continue to do this.
Yeah. Kate, what's your experience here? What happens to you?
Well, I actually carry an EpiPen for this actual reason. I have had a very adverse reaction to candles and scents, and I find it very impossible in shopping centres, going into my patients' homes. I do home visits as an OT, and there's often incense burning or in Peter Alexander, for example, I can't go into that shop because I I actually have an EpiPen for this reaction. I get right. I stop breathing. So I've had 2 admissions to hospital because of it, and I find people who have EpiPens for food can actually check what they put in their mouth and they can control it. But for me, going to a shopping centre or into someone's home, it's quite scary because I don't know what I'll find.
Yeah, Kate, thanks for your call. I'm sorry to hear that that's your circumstance. I mean, that's the kind of thing, reason why we're perhaps looking at this. Anne Steinman, where should this be regulated? Does it need to be regulated in the same place that food is regulated?
Well, there are many different agencies that could have purview over this, but I think the main issue right now is that consumers do need to speak up and complain and let companies and government know that these products are making them sick.
Anne, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
And thanks for your work in this area. This is Professor Anne Steinman. She's a professor of civil engineering at the University of Melbourne.